Good morning. I'm recording this message on Saturday night in order for you to watch on Sunday morning. This weekend, of course, we celebrate Memorial Day, which is a celebration of those who died in order for us to have our freedom. And I know these days sometimes it doesn't feel like we have our freedom. So that's why I think that Daniel is the perfect character for us to study as we go through these trying times. Of course, we remember what James said in the book of James, right? Consider it all joy when you encounter various types of trials, for the testing of your faith produces endurance. Well, there was no one that endured trials more than, not Daniel, but our Lord Jesus Christ, who we're going to talk about this morning, but we're also going to talk about Jesus Christ in relationship to Daniel and in relationship to Daniel chapter 10. Now, let me give you some broad context here, okay? You remember from the beginning of the book of Daniel, Daniel and his companions were taken from Jerusalem to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was probably 14, 15, 16 years old, somewhere around there, okay? By the time we get to Daniel chapter 10, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. The third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, was 536 BC. Daniel at this time was probably about 85 years old. We see Daniel has another vision as he's had in the past, but this one is very detailed. And here's how the passage starts. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar, and the word was true, and it was a great conflict. And he understood the words and had understanding of the vision. So Daniel is about 85 years old at this point, and he's still having these visions, okay? He has a vision, and here's how he reacts to it. He says in verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for 3 full weeks. So Daniel was out of his normal routine. In fact, he was mourning and he was fasting and he was praying for whatever it was that was going on in this particular time. I speculate, and let me say this in advance, this is only speculation, but I speculate that what Daniel was thinking about was God's promise in the book of Jeremiah that the Jews would be in Babylon for 70 years. And then they would return to Jerusalem to rebuild. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, one of the things that he did was he sent a group of Jews back to Jerusalem in order to begin rebuilding the temple. And that group was led by Zerubbabel. And his story is told in the book of Ezra. Now, Daniel is still in Babylon. And he's about 85 years old. And I think probably what Daniel's thinking at this point is, I'm never going to make it back to Jerusalem. I'm never going to see the holy city again. I am going to die in Babylon. And so what happens is he begins to mourn and he begins to fast and he begins to see a great vision. And I want this vision to be an encouragement to you. No matter what's going on right now with you, no matter how you feel about yourself, how you feel about your life, how you feel about the circumstances that are going on around you, I want Daniel to be an encouragement to you, okay? That's where we're going with this message. So just listen for what the Lord talks to Daniel about, okay? On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is, the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold of Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, and his arms and legs like gleaming burnished bronze. And the sound of his words were like the sound of a multitude. Now, a couple of things to note here, first of all. Chuck Swindoll has a note on the 24th day of the first month that Daniel mentioned here. And he says that 24th day of the first month was April 23rd of 536 BC. So there's a very specific date assigned to this event. Now, Daniel, for whatever reason, is near the Tigris River, which is odd because the Tigris River isn't really close to the city of Babylon. But this is where he's at, and he sees this figure, and he describes in detail this figure that he sees, right? He has a body that was like beryl, or some translations say like topaz, eyes like flaming torches, and arms and legs of gleaming burnished bronze, and the sound of his words were like the sound of a multitude. So that's Daniel's description of what he sees in this man. Okay. Then in verse 7, he says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling came upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision and had no strength left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and I heard the sound of his words. I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground." Now, I want to explain a couple things. First of all, I want to explain that if you haven't watched my my first Friday update that I gave this past week, I gave two updates on Friday. But the first one, I explained some of this in that I explained that Jesus makes reference to something written in the book of Daniel, right? He mentions the abomination that causes desolation. In both chapter 9 of Daniel and chapter 11, that's mentioned. And in Matthew chapter 24, which we'll go to in a few minutes, Jesus mentions that same thing, okay? But I also want to point out a couple other things. A couple other things from the New Testament that allude to what we find here in Daniel chapter 10. One of those things is Daniel sees this vision and none of his other companions see it, but they have a great fear come upon them and they flee. And that sounds an awful lot like what happened to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Remember, he saw a bright light and he heard Jesus' voice that said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" You remember that? So there's an allusion in the book of Acts in the New Testament to a similar situation to what happened in Daniel in the Old Testament. But even greater than that is Daniel's description of this man. And the reason that I bring it up is because if you watched my Friday video, I mentioned that some liberal scholars say that the book of Daniel could not have been written by Daniel. And I went on in that video to explain why. I'm not going to go into that right now. Okay, there was another theory that maybe someone from the Essenes in Qumran that I also talked about in that video, maybe one of them wrote it. The allusions that come up in the New Testament to Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10 make those theories impossible. It could not have happened the way that some liberal scholars say that it happened. Okay, now, Daniel describes this man, and I want you to hear a description of someone that the Apostle John saw in the book of Revelation, okay? Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 9. "I, John, your brother and companion, in the suffering of the kingdom and patient endurance that is ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." Now let me pause right there. Here's what Daniel had said. "I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies." So he uses that same format at the beginning of what he's writing, the "I, John" and the "I, Daniel." Okay. Then as John continues on in what he's saying, he talks about being in prison on the island of Patmos. "And on the Lord's day, I was in the spirit and heard behind me a voice like a trumpet, which said, 'Write on the scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, And then he names the churches. I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a gold sash around his waist. Now listen to this. The hair on his head was white like wool and white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. What did Daniel say? He said his eyes were like flaming torches. His feet were like bronze. What did Daniel say? His arms and legs like gleaming bronze. Were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. What did Daniel say? His voice was like a multitude. So essentially, what John is describing here is a vision that he saw of, it sounds an awful lot like the same person that Daniel had seen. Okay. Now, like I said, if Jesus and John and them didn't have access to the book of Daniel, it's very odd that this description would be so close to what Daniel had seen. But it goes on from there. Okay. John writes, in his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all brilliance. When I saw him, I fell down at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Now, who is it? Right? It's Jesus. The one that John sees in the book of Revelation is Jesus. He describes himself as, I was dead, and now look, I am alive now and forever. He calls himself the first and the last. We often use the terms the Alpha and the Omega. So the one that John sees in his vision on the island of Patmos is the resurrected, glorified Jesus Christ in heaven. Now let's go back to the description of what Daniel is seeing in Daniel chapter 10. And remember, this is 536 BC. This is a long time before the babe in the manger, okay? But some people would say that what Daniel is seeing in Daniel chapter 10 is what is called a theophany or a Christophany, okay? It's an appearance of God in the Old Testament or an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And so remember what John had said. When I saw him, I fell down at his feet as though dead, and he placed his right hand on me. Now here's what Daniel writes. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. And I heard the sound of his words. And as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. Man, these two passages are so closely linked together. If Daniel wasn't written by Daniel, I don't know what happened here, because John describes things almost exactly the same way that Daniel sees them. Although, John didn't write this until around 95 AD. So that's more than 600 years difference. Okay, now, back to Daniel chapter 10. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you. Stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. So Daniel had fallen face down on the ground. The hand touched him and put him on his knees, and he was trembling. And then he says to Daniel, stand up. So Daniel stands up. He said to me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come to you because of your words. So you remember back at the beginning of the chapter, Daniel had made a decision that he was going to fast and pray and mourn over this situation. Okay. Now listen, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. 21 days is significant here, right? Because Daniel had said at the beginning that he had been mourning and fasting for 3 weeks, which is 21 days. Now it says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. Now this is a really interesting phrase. The prince of the kingdom of Persia. That word in Hebrew, prince, is also translated captain or commander. And it seems that it doesn't signify an actual human being as a prince, but it seems as though this is maybe a reference to what's going on between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. We have now entered into the angelic realm. And you remember in the New Testament, Jesus encountered these people called the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a people that didn't believe in angels or demons or heaven or hell or those types of things, right? So if you're thinking to yourself, I don't really know if I believe in angels and demons and such like that, just bear with me and keep listening. But let me tell you, Daniel did, and Jesus most certainly did, okay? But just bear with me for a few minutes here. The prince of the kingdom of Persia seems to be a reference to a demon that was the commander of the realm of Persia. Okay? Now listen. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. And came to you to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. Now, there's a whole bunch to unpack here, all right? But let me start with this Michael. Because if you do a search in a Bible, if you do a search in a Bible app or something like that for the word Michael, there's a few different references that come up. One of them comes up in the very short book of Jude. And refers to Michael as being the archangel and says that he disputed with Satan over the body of Moses. But what he tells Moses is he says, the Lord rebuke you. And that's the weapon that he uses against Satan. But he calls Michael the archangel. Now, if we jump back to the book of Revelation, remember, the Apostle John had written the book of Revelation. Let me read you something out of Revelation chapter 12, okay? Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Now, that's a pretty cool reference, I think. It explains to us who this Michael that Daniel is seeing in Daniel chapter 10 probably is. Okay, now, This other person that Daniel's talking to, though, this other person who's not Michael, he says, I'm going to explain the vision to you because the vision is about what's going to happen. He says to your people. Who were Daniel's people? Daniel's people were the Jews, right? What's going to happen to your people in the latter days? For the vision is for days yet to come. And if you haven't watched that video on Daniel chapter 11, please watch that video. It has all kinds of things that are going to happen in the realm of the Jewish people. Not only during the time between Daniel and Christ, although it does cover that, but then it jumps to the end times and talks about... Just watch the video. I got to get back to chapter 10. Okay. When he had spoken to me according to this word, according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground like I was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. And I opened my mouth and spoke to him who stood before me. O Lord, by reason of the vision, pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? Now, what is Daniel saying there? How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? What he realizes is that he's not talking to just a normal man. In fact, he's not even talking to Gabriel like he had talked to previously. This is a reference, it looks like anyway. I believe that this is a reference to the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ before he was born in a manger. Now, you may be thinking, well, I thought Jesus started when he was born. No, in fact, if we believe that Jesus is God, which I do, then he must be from the beginning. And there's references in other passages of Scripture that say that Jesus was the one in the Godhead who performed creation. So Jesus did not just come into being when he was born and when he was born from Mary and placed in a manger. That wasn't the beginning of Jesus. That was when he became human. Before that, though, he was still God. And so I believe what Daniel's seeing here is a pre-incarnate vision of Jesus Christ. Daniel says, how can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? So Daniel believes that he's seeing God face to face here. For now, no strength remains in me and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you. Doesn't that sound like what Jesus said to his apostles? Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. Now, remember the vision of the ram and the vision of the goat, right? The ram represented Media Persia. The goat represented Greece. And what this pre-incarnate vision of Jesus Christ is saying is, I need to go make sure that that happens the way that it's supposed to happen. So Persia and Greece are going to come to a battle, but I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side except Michael, your prince. Remember, Michael is the archangel. Now we're moving into chapter 11, and I told you I'm not going to preach on chapter 11. I really want you to watch that video, but I do want to read the first couple verses. And as for me, in the first year of Darius the Mede, that's 2 years ago, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him, and I will show you the truth. Behold, three more kings shall arise in Persia, and a fourth shall be far richer than all of them. And so what he's telling Daniel is, this is what's going to happen after you die. There's going to be three more kings in Persia, and then there's going to be a fourth one who's much richer. And if you watch that video, it takes off from there. All right, now I've got to jump to chapter 12, because chapter 12 comes at the end of this vision. I don't really care for where the chapter breaks are in chapter 10, 11, and 12, but I understand why they put it where they did. Chapter 12, verse 1, starts with this. And remember, next week we're going to finish chapter 12 and wrap up the rest of the book of Daniel. But I need to read you chapter 12, verse 1. And when I read it to you, those of you who are familiar with Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 24, bells and whistles are going to go off like crazy, and we'll turn there in a minute and we'll read the rest of it. It says, at that time, and this is still that person that Daniel had been talking to speaking, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who was in charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never been since there was a nation till that time. Does that phraseology sound familiar to you? Well, excuse me. Even if it doesn't, go ahead and turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 24. Okay, Matthew chapter 24. I've quoted this passage 2 weeks in a row, but I've only quoted this first verse, verse 15. But we're going to go on from there now. Okay, here's what it says. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel," remember that's a proof that Jesus believed that Daniel was the author of the book of Daniel. "When you see that, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in the house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be." Doesn't that phrase sound incredibly familiar? So here's what Jesus is talking about in the Gospel of Matthew, and what he was making reference to all the way back in Daniel chapter 10 as well. There is a future coming time of tribulation. It lasts for a total of 7 years, but 3.5 years of that is what's called the Great Tribulation. We heard a little bit about that 3.5 years last week in Daniel chapter 9. There is a world leader that arises and makes a covenant with the Jewish people for 7 years. And in the middle of that 7 years, he breaks that covenant with the Jewish people and desecrates the temple. And then after that time is a period of 3.5 years called the Great Tribulation, which leads up to the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. So do I believe all of that stuff is going to happen? Yeah, I do. Some of you, this might be brand new to you. You never heard this before. Some of you, this is old hat. This is no big deal to you. But here's why I believe that these things will pan out the way that Jesus said they would. Okay? It's because we have so much prophecy from other sections of the scripture that have been fulfilled exactly the way that they said they would be. Especially if you've watched that video of Daniel chapter 11 and seen how many things, boom, 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 happened just the way that this individual that was talking to Daniel said that they would. And if those things happened the way that that individual said that they would, we can trust that the rest of the things will happen in the same way. And that illusion that that individual makes in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, which sounds so much like what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, it tells us that there's a coming a time. There's coming a time of great tribulation. Are we in it right now? I don't believe so. I believe that it's still future. But I also believe that after that 7 years of tribulation, Christ returns to establish his kingdom on this earth. And we look forward to that day. So no matter what trials and tribulations we're going through right now, no matter what pains and agonies you're going through on a daily or weekly basis right now, I want you to look beyond those things. Just like Daniel was given this vision and he was told to look beyond what he was going through in his current circumstances right now, I want you to look beyond those things and look to the great promises that we have when one day we will all get to heaven and we see Jesus, our Lord and Savior, face to face. You can handle anything that this life throws at you Because, number one, if you've placed your trust in Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you. That's your down payment of that eternal life that you'll one day receive. And number two, you know that there's a great high priest interceding for you in heaven right now. And one day you'll be with him. And you'll never have to be away from him again. So just cling to his promises. He is absolutely and completely trustworthy. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that there is no greater love than one would lay down their life for their friends. I thank you that we can celebrate Memorial Day and remember those who fought for our freedom. And even in this midst of this time where it feels like we're not as free as we're used to, we know that we have the greatest freedom in the future when we're freed from these mortal bodies and we're with you forever and ever. We look forward to that day. Help us, Lord, to continue pursuing you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you have a great rest of your Memorial Day weekend. I'll do another update on Tuesday, probably Tuesday afternoon. I love you, and I will see you soon.